House of God this morning.
It digs.
Proverbs 28. In Proverbs 28, we're going to be looking at verse number 19. We're going to start there and look some other places in the Bible. Proverbs 28, if you look down at verse 19, the Bible says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." Now, when he says he tilleth with his hand, that means he gets his own bread. Now, you think about this. If you're a farmer to get bread, what is the product that you must use? Wheat. He said, "He that tilleth with his hand," that's a hard job. And the older a farmer gets, the more he has to face getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Ain't like it was when he was 19 years old. He finally gets out there with the chickens at 5 and just get them fed so the rooster don't crow and wake up everybody. Everybody's got alarm clocks on their phone now, so we don't need the rooster anymore. I think they ought to muzzle them things early in the morning, but that's just me. He leaves the chicken pen, he goes out there and milks the cows, he goes over there and gets the hogs fed, and by that time he's ready to hop on the tractor and get that land going, till that land. When the Bible was written, there was no tractors, you did it all by hand. Now, if we look at that thing by interpretation, we've got that. It's about a real farmer with farming real land, trying to get real wheat on down the line. And by application, he said, "He that doeth what? He that tilleth with his hand shall have plenty of bread." There's two things in the Bible by application is called bread. One is Jesus Christ himself. He said, "I am the bread of life." The other is the word of God. "Give us this day our daily bread." That refers to reading the word of God. It's your daily bread. Can I let you in on a little fact? Studying the Bible is hard work. So how do you know? Because nobody does it. Nobody. They don't care. They don't care. No Bible. It's okay. I'll read one verse in the devotional book. Now be my Bible reading. Well, let me let you in on something. If that's all the Bible you read, I want you to take a loaf of bread in the morning, pinch one piece off that loaf, put it in your mouth, eat it, and don't eat nothing the rest of the day. Nothing. That's all you get. I promise you by 9 o'clock, you're going to be thinking, "Well, I hope break time hurries up and gets here." And you can get to lunchtime. If you ain't had nothing by then, you'll say, "Oh God, give us this day our daily bread." You're going to be hunting something. By the time you get off work, you're going to have a headache and everything else. And you're going to be, somebody needs to hand you a Snickers. Amen. Listen, you'll be in a mess. But if you take and you eat proper, you won't be hungry all the time and all that other stuff. But by way of application, let's use bread for the word of God. And he look at it this way. "He that tilleth his hand shall have plenty of bread." You study the Bible, you have something. You read the Bible, you have something. But here's where it stops at. "He that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." The word vain has four words associated with it. Number one is empty. You follow after somebody that's empty, you're going to be empty. If you follow after somebody that's fruitless, that's the second word. You know what you're going to be? You're going to be fruitless. You follow after fruitless people, you're going to be fruitless. You are what you hang around with. But the other one is, the fourth word, or third word, should be ineffectual. If you're ineffectual, it's because of who you follow. They're vain. They're empty, you're empty. They're fruitless, you're fruitless. They're ineffectual, you're ineffectual. And then the fourth word it describes vain is unreal. Have you said to yourself, looking at something, "Man, that is unreal"? It's because it's unreal. It's vain. And he said those persons you follow, now let's not gender correct crowd. He didn't say man or woman, he said person. In other words, whether it's a man, woman, child, if they're vain, you're vain. You say the people follow their children all the time. Yeah. Listen, they used to say sodomites made them sick until their son became one. Now if you preach on it, you make them mad. God bless you, amen. Listen, if it was wrong then, it's wrong when your child does it. It was a sin to smoke pot until your child got hooked on marijuana. And he said, well, you know, it's a natural herb God created. You used to say that. What changed? Your child that you following? They're vain, they're empty, they're ineffectual, they're fruitless. And now you are, because you're following them.
Right.
Get this one. Listen, when your preacher preached on drinking, you said, hey, man, brother, let him have it. And you used to be a drunk. Let your child drift off into them waters of drinking. Now, all of a sudden, you've offended me, preacher, because you preached on something my child is doing.
Come on.
The thing you're lacking in your life is the love of this book.
Right.
Oh, I love Jesus. Do you love his word? The Bible said in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This, the United States of suing people, they offended at everything. If the coffee's hot, they offended. If it's cold, they offended. If the weather outside's hot, they blame God for that, and they hate God, they offended at God. If it's too cold, they blame God and they hate God for that. They're never satisfied. They're offended at everything. I've watched people sit there and take in stuff and say, well, that person was like such and such, but you've never listened to him. You're just going by what a vain person said. You're listening to somebody who's vain. They're ineffectual. They're fruitless. They're empty. And you're following after them. Therefore, you are. I want to preach to you today on what you get from being empty. What you get from being empty. Let's take time and ask the Lord to bless his word today. Father, we love you. We come to you today, Lord God, and we don't know everything, God. We just know you. And Lord, we know that your word doesn't return back to you void, Lord. And we pray today, God, as we come, that you'll teach us your word according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we pray, God, that your teacher, the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us, teaches this precious book. God, help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be in some in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We ask all this, believing, God, that you can do this. And we know that you want to. And we pray, God, that you'll help us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What do you get from being empty? Well, you get several warnings about following these vain people. If you look over to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, you got a Scofield Bible, I think it's around page 1254, I think is what it is. And all the Scofield Bible people said,
amen.
Amen. Listen, nothing like a good old Scofield reference Bible, King James only, that is. I don't care if they make it in other ones, don't bother me one way or another. I know this, that I've been reading out of one of these since I got saved. Listen to this, Dr. Scofield's about 95% right on what he says. 95%, that's pretty good, ain't it? Listen, this man should have wrote books and done stuff like this in his life. This is where God has produced the most fruit out of that man's life. By the way, he died in 1930. Since the other ones have come out, the version 2 and the version 3, he kind of wasn't there for them. He had a board of editors in the front of that Bible that tells you that somebody other than him put notes in this thing. So I don't agree with him. I don't either. I just told you 95% right. The other 5% you got to worry about. The text, however, is a different story. It's 100% right. The Word of God's right. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, see that you walk, what's that word right there? Circumspectly. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In the dictionary, that word circumspectly talks about being cautious, watchful, in every way, attention to guard against surprise or danger. The first warning you get when you follow vain persons is you get an empty walk. An empty walk. He said that you walk circumspectly. Why is that? Because if you don't, dummy, you're going to be run over by a car. You know what kills me? This is something else. I'm going to do something inspired. I'm going to turn off my phone. I just never thought about that. What kills me about people is there's red lights in Gaffney. There's little guys up there, and when they flash, don't walk, that means don't walk. When it says walk, that's when you walk. They even got a button you press now. You press that button on that pole, and it'll turn that thing where you walk. But if you don't walk when it says walk, and you don't walk when it says walk, or you walk, you get that thing backwards, you are going to get run over. Because just like you don't follow the law, Them cars ain't going to follow the law, and you both are going to reap what you sow. I promise if you ever run over somebody, it'll change your life. You'll have nightmares. You'll see their face at night. You'll never get away from that stuff. And God help you, you hit a child, you'll never, ever forget that. Now listen to me. If you're not going to obey the law, and you sow into that principle, they're not going to obey the law, they sow into that one, y'all both, the twain shall meet. If you walk circumspectly, you're looking for something all the time. Listen, when I have to cross the road on Floyd Baker Boulevard, if I have to walk across that thing, I'm the type of person going to wait until it's probably pretty much clear before I ever walk, no matter anything, but I'm going to do it on the right path. You know those big white lines they draw for you walk on, walk through? Circumspectly. You got out of bounds over here, and you got out of bounds over here. Listen, I watched the Lakers play basketball. They try to keep it within the lines. I watched the Cowboys play football. They try to keep it within the lines. Because when they get out of bounds, either one of them, that guy bugged with, stop the play, stop the play. We're out of bounds. Would to God we had cops up there going, you know how dancing cops in New York do, don't you? Would to God we had one at every intersection gaffing and get rid of the red lights. You know why people don't think? Listen. This happened just the other day. Watch this. And we worried about getting a zombie virus. We already got it. Walking dead right there. Walk circumspectly. You know what people do in real life, in their life? They do that with spiritual things. Regardless of the warning to walk circumspectly, what do? They walk into places they know they're going to get in trouble at. So where do you go at night, preacher? Usually Walgreens to get baby wipes. What about you? Or ice cream, whichever one we're out of. Now listen to me. When you get in the mess, it's usually you that got you there. You wasn't walking circumspectly. You wasn't looking around for danger. Our mailman, God bless him, I'd say his name, but we live. I watched him walk circumspectly to her house. Why? We got them two killers we let out every once in a while. Especially that one. She looks like a Doberman and thinks she's a pit bull. Listen, she can't even see out the door while I'm letting her get her hooked up. When I open that door, she comes out. Just in case there's somebody out there. The other dog's waiting to go to the bathroom. She's waiting to tear somebody's leg off. He walked circumspectly. I don't blame him. I guess he's been bit before is probably what happened when he wasn't walking circumspectly. I wonder if you walk circumspectly. It's okay. Listen, this is what the world says. It's okay to have a beer every once in a while. You're being conformed to this world. If you ever get transformed, you won't say that no more. Let's take a walk with Mr. Budweiser, shall we? Let's take a walk with Mr. Natural Light. Let's see where they hit us. In an uncircumspect place where there's danger on every side. There's the danger of adultery. There's the danger of rioting and being uncircumspect in places. Fighting with people that you normally wouldn't fight, but y'all both got drunk and he said something that you didn't like or you said something he didn't like. Or you looked his way at his whatever he had with him. I saw you looking. Next, a fight breaks out. You know what happens? Something that was warned ahead of time. How'd you get to that place? I'm going to tell you how you got there. You followed somebody that was vain. One of your heroes. You know why people smoke cigarettes? It's not because they like smoking. You got to take 3 or 4 weeks to get into the thing. You know why they smoke? Somebody they look up to smoked. Am I getting close to you now? If you're walking uncircumspectly, there's a reason why. You're following your hero. Your hero just led you down a dangerous path. It's one of them things where you say to yourself, that'll never happen to me, but it's happening, though. And it happened. You wish somebody warned you? Here's your warning. Here's your sign. Here's your sign. Listen, if your five-year-old watches you smoke, don't be surprised if they smoke by the time they're six. One day you're going to walk in there and they're going to be smoking butts out of your ashtray. Yeah, well, preacher, you shouldn't be talking like that. Why? Does it offend you? Does it make you mad? Does it make you think about yourself? If you keep liquor in your house, don't be surprised you come home and catch your kids drunk. Walk circumspectly. That it's okay for men to have beer. It ain't funny when that kid grows up a drunk, runs over a kid. It ain't funny when you go down to Dutchman prison, got to wait to get in because your child's in there for killing somebody. Oh, you don't know. He was okay. He got around bad kids. He followed the vain person. That'd be you. You followed the vain person. Either somebody here local or some movie star. Let me tell you about the movie star's lifestyle. Do you know they live just like you do? They spend most of their time in a single wide trailer on a set, and that's what they do every day. Not so glamorous now, is it? A little martini in hand. And they marry about 17 times before they die. Why? They can't get along with nobody. They're trying to use their influence to spread liberalism. Are you spreading liberalism with them, or are you just being brainwashed by it? Listen, I don't care what these athletes and these superstars say. I want to follow God. And the reason being, I've already tasted that life. It's vain, it's empty, it's ineffectual, it's fruitless, and all that. Look over at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Would you like for God Almighty to work in your life? You got to follow Jesus then. If you don't follow Jesus, you're in a fruitless, now a faithless life. In that faithless life, you find out something. You'll be ineffectual. You'll be unreal. You'll be ineffective. All of that. You'll be empty. There's people that sit on church pews over the years that have all four of them qualities about them, all because of one thing. They're following a vain person. You ever heard this before? This is a good one. If you're taught by yourself, you've been taught by a fool. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples follow him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this given, which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? His own people around where he lived at, they couldn't believe he was doing all that. They had heard about it before he came. Who is he that he doeth this? Well, he's one of yours. He's a Jew from that part of the country. He's of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. It's crazy how people get offended over the least little things, but he just showed up and that offended them. How about it, dear Christian, when you can't make it to the family reunion because you came to church, then you make it late. Oh, here comes the reverend. Here comes the reverend with his little Cinderella daughters, his little tuxedo sons, and they make fun of you. Won't you bless the food, reverend? You know, that's not only mocking you, that's mocking God, because the Bible says reverend is his name. Psalm 111, about verse 9, I think. And look at this text, they were just offended at him, and it says in verse 4, though, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kid and own kin and his own house. And he could there, watch this, do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And they marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. You'll find other places in the Bible where he went around teaching and healing and all that. But here he couldn't. Why? They were offended at him. Listen, when you get empty, the warning about following vain persons here is you get an empty work. You get an empty work. If you follow after this crowd that was talking about Jesus like that and they were offended at him, can I tell you how they offended at him right now? They're wanting to get rid of the Ten Commandments. You know why? It's not because those words alone. It's because they're God's words. They offend people. Thou shalt not. Who are you to tell me I can't do such and such? Everybody that's shacked up walks in McDonald's and sees the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. All the liars walk in there and they see that thing in the courtroom out there on the front because you can't put it inside it anymore, so they put a monument out front, thou shalt not lie. And they fixing to walk right in there and do that very thing. I'm seeing why they want it gone. They're rebels against that. They're offended at that because that tells their life story. God's Word has a way of doing that. And don't think for a second, listen, that people get away with anything. They don't. And when he shows up here, get this. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, God manifest in the flesh walked into that hometown and they were offended at him. Are you surprised they offended at you? You have Christ in you, the hope of glory, so you walk into a place, they're offended at you. Here's the crazy thing. When you get an empty work like that, you can't do nothing. They tied the hands of God with one thing, unbelief. You fall after somebody like that, you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk around in church, they're eventually going to make you a deacon. You're going to say, I don't believe you ought to do that. I mean, mission starts at home. Hello, Southern Baptist deacons. Hello, Presbyterian preacher. Hello, backslid independent Baptist pastor. Oh, we ain't got the money for that. I know you don't because you are in unbelief. Unbelief. You don't believe. You can't do no work for God because you don't believe God can do it. You've got your schemes and your plans and all that and plan B in case plan A don't work and you get nothing done from God because you followed somebody like that. If you'll take your Bibles and look over at John chapter 4, John chapter 4 over here, in John chapter 4, you get an empty walk, you get an empty work, you can't do nothing for the Lord, you're ineffectual, you're fruitless, you're unreal, you're empty because you followed somebody just like that. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, look at this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's spirit, here's truth. Spirit inside you. The one that's born again. The one that Christ raised from the dead when you got saved. The one that desires the things of God. The Holy Spirit inside you. Listen, God sending His Spirit to seal you into the day of redemption. There you are. Here He is. He said, worship in spirit and in truth. The truth of the Word of God, that it is an inerrant, infallible, listen, inspired Word of God. The truth, as Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. Inerrant, infallible. And listen, very, very much so real. Very much so born of a virgin. Two things they hate, the creation of this world and the virgin birth. Because those two things condemn mankind. That when they don't believe those, they don't believe the rest of the things. Oh, we got it. We can't say nothing about that. Yes, we can. But if you follow vain and empty persons, you get an empty worship. Brother Waters has told countless times down at his church is not what you'd call a shouting church, but when he gets there, he makes up for 90% of it, I promise you. But I tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, he said, I got up and preached in a place in South Carolina and said, why don't y'all say amen every once in a while? Are you all dead? The pastor got up behind him and said, we don't say amen here. What? Well, we can't shout in church? We can't say amen when the choir sings? We can't say amen when the special singing is going on? Listen, I know during the preaching it's on me sometimes, but you can't even say that. They were offended at him. You fall after vain persons like that, you have an empty worship. I would like to raise my hands while I'm saying, help yourself. Make you a laugh if you able. I would to God we had a baptistry behind me full of water. You can dive on in like that video on YouTube. Just go running around, woo, jumping there. Clothes and all. Help yourself. Worship in spirit and in truth. I know not everybody's a running around shouting person. You got bad knees, bad hips, bad back. I get it. But you can shout right there where you at and throw your hands up if you don't do it. If you don't do that, that's on you. You in your Father's house is a place of worship. and we worship in the spirit of truth. Unless we followed vain persons, now we have empty worship. If you look down in the Bible, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We saw how vain persons, we got the warnings of empty walk, empty work, empty worship. You get down to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, down at verse 11. Your Bible says this. This is the key verse of the Old Testament. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What did he say about his word? It goes forth out of his mouth. It doesn't return to him void. It may return to you void if you're following a vain person. It may return void that way. If you send out the word of God and it comes back to you void, it won't come back to him void. I've watched people over the years that think, well, I don't like how such and such behaves. And they want God not to save that person, but to change their behavior towards them. That is the depth, the absolute depth of following vain persons. That you want them to get saved so they'll act better towards you, not that they won't go to hell. If somebody's praying for you to get saved and you're lost and undone, and they just want you to treat them better, why don't they ask you to treat them better? Times are tough, my friend. And listen, the devil is running rampant in Cherokee County, South Carolina, and in the United States. He's got us all stirred up, turned against one another and everything else. But if you're following a vain person, you'll have an empty word. You won't know what to say other than, ah, like that little dog I got. Now, here's the catch with all this stuff. Listen, there's sometimes, in some way or another, we send out this word. It's not ineffectual, it's effective. But it's effective on God's end, not ours. But if you quit following vain persons, this book will come back to you with the word and with help and something that'll help you grow in the grace and knowledge. Something that'll help you pray properly. Something that'll get you back where you need to be with God Almighty. Amen. There's a thing goes on where people say to themselves, well, I believe the Bible, but I'm not no fanatic. Yeah, well, you notice that. Well, I don't want to shout too much and quote the Bible a lot. They'll think I'm sold out. Why aren't you sold out? Amen. You can't watch the TV without thinking this must be the end times. Yep. Unless you're following a vain person. Could be your child. Could be you. Could be somebody you admire, want to be like. These musicians get up and make such a vain thing to people that they start following after them. I've told you the story before of how this one man I know, he told me this personally. He grew up listening to this death metal band. So him and his friends said, man, we got to be like them. Now, these wasn't church people, by the way. This the other side of the coin. They'd get together and hold seances, and they'd put the pentagram on theirself because they would be like that band that was on their album cover. And the whole time you heard about it, they said, oh, it's devil. Oh, they worship in the devil. And it's like, man, they do that thing with their hand, all that stuff. Then one day he grew up. Teenage years behind him. You have to get a J-O-B at that time. You know what he went and got a job doing? You'll never guess. He went to work for that band. He was all, man, this is so cool. I got my T-shirt on. I got this. My long hair. I'm ready to... Maybe they'll get us roadies, have a devil worship thing before or after the band. He said on the first day on the job, he found out all his life was empty. Them boys showed up dressed like y'all, got out of the limousine, walked into a dressing room, came out with their instruments on them, and those clothes that they wear and all that. They got on stage, did the whole performance. I did say performance, by the way. They walked back to the back, got a shower, changed in the clothes just like you wear, walked, got in that limousine, went to the hotel. He said, my boss came grab me and said, you can't lay around the job. Quit watching them. Come on, we got to tear this stuff down for the next show, next night. He said, when are we going to worship the devil? He said, we don't. He sat there looking at them like you look at me. Didn't know what to think about that. Went to the hotel, 10 o'clock. Got the hotel, 10, 11. They were all in the bed. All in the bed. Sleep. What were they doing? Why didn't they have, they're rock and rollers. Where's all the groupies? They wasn't there. Where's all the pentagrams drawn? They wasn't there. It was a show. And that guy told me something I'll never forget. He said, I thought I was a devil worshiper until I found out that I was fake and been led around by a vain person. How about that? Now, let me tell you something else. I don't care whether it's rock, rap, country, bluegrass, whatever. You're going to find out that all them guys at tour is just about the same way. I met Tom Kiefer in Columbia one time. We had backstage pass to meet the people. He is about as vanilla and plain as you are. Nothing to him, just a good old guy. Grew up in Pennsylvania, somewhere up there, Philadelphia, I think. Grew up in a steel mining town. Rather than work for the steel company, you got a band together. You know what they did when they got through playing? Took a shower, changed into clothes like you and I wear, went to the motel and went to bed. I think they were late getting there. Might have been 10:30. Oh, I want to be like one of them wrestlers. Having big muscles. Go out there and woo the crowd. When they get done wooing the crowd, and I've been sitting back there with them, they go change into clothes just like you wear. And they either drive to the next town or they go to the hotel and go to sleep. They got a flight to catch at 6 o'clock in the morning. They got time to fool with you. 6 o'clock? Yeah, see, that's a job. I like it when kids right here are going to get a rock band together. The boy, if you don't like working now, you'll hate that business. What are you going to do when you don't love music and your manager says, we got to play this song standing here, right here, in this rehearsal space, until we play it without thinking about it? Sometimes it takes playing a song 100 times a day for them to be able to not look at their instruments and play. And then once they nail that down, they got to learn where to stand and when to do what, when to prop your foot up, when to do all of that. It's a show. You're following vain persons. You thought you were a devil worshiper. That's so funny. You thought you were a devil worshiper. You're not a devil worshiper. These people that follow these gospel groups around, you know what we call them? Diesel sniffers. You know why? That's the only spiritual time they can be spiritual, when some of them quartets is playing. Can we follow the quartet and see what church they go to? Here's the other part of devil worship. They get through singing, they go put their clothes on, go to bed, just like you do. They ain't more spiritual. Half of them's not as spiritual as somebody that barely makes it to church by a thread. What's wrong there? They're putting on a performance. There's a reason why they make you cry when they sing. They've practiced. There's a reason why they go down on one knee and go, oh, at the right time. Follow them around. They do whatever show. Empty, vain, ineffectual, fruitless, unreal. Is that what you want followed around? If you do, you'll have an empty word. I heard somebody say the other day that they hate to see people stuff all in their Bibles, marking their Bibles and all that. Why, if you don't read yours, why are you talking about me? If you don't read the Bible, you probably won't underline nothing. Now, when you're reading the Bible, when you're doing your Bible reading, just read your Bible. Then go back and study and write things down that you thought, maybe I should take a closer look at that. Maybe I ought to look at that word circumspectly again. Maybe I ought to check behind the preacher. I wish you would. I wish you'd go home, take a dictionary and concordance, and check the whole thing out. Right. There's a man named William Forsyth. I met him at Bible college. William Forsyth, his wife talked him into going to church. He had a drug problem that day. She had to drag him in. William wasn't no doper. He wasn't no heavy metal guy, none of that stuff. He was just some dude that had a job and was married. He goes in there, and that guy starts preaching. And he told me I disagreed with him. He offended me. Can you believe that? A visitor comes to church, and he went to Family Dollar or someplace like that. It's about $5 getting him a Bible. And he went home and said, I'm going to check him out. Second Sunday, he come back. The preacher started saying stuff, and he started writing it down. Why? Because he was going to confront him with what he said and did, how it was wrong, how it offended him and made him mad. Mr. Forsythe said that while all that was going on, he said there's somebody getting to him that wasn't on that stage or sitting in that pew. A wind from above blew through there, got a hold to his heart, and he said, when I got home writing all this stuff down, tears started falling down his eyes. It wasn't the preacher that was wrong. Oh, no. It was him. I can relate with that. After we got married, we went to church on Easter. I sat beside, 25 years later, be Sheriff Steve Mueller. How about that? He had just, old cop, just moved to town. He was dating some girl we grew up with, eventually married her. There we was sitting in the balcony, away from that thing. The preacher got up and preached, and we ignored him like some of you trying to ignore me now. God bless you. Listen, you walked in empty. You might get full if you listen. And I sat there, and I thought, this is a joke. If you don't get up by 12 and leave and all that stuff. I didn't realize that the word also is called the seed. You know what God did? He took that stuff I was hearing and just put a little seed there. The Bible said he some planted, some watered, but God gives the increase. The next time we went, listen, the next time we went was over a year later, and we couldn't go to Easter because we was in the hospital. I got in there and got saved. She had got saved in January. Oh, but son, when we got out and we could go to church, we ain't quit yet. Why is that? Because somebody that's not empty come along to somebody that was and filled the whole thing up. So how'd he do that? I got down and said, God, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I didn't ask him to join me in my sin. I said, I need you. It wasn't up for negotiation. It was a full surrender. And that full surrender got a full pardon. The blood had been shed and applied there, and Jesus Christ now abides. His word don't return void. When I come to worship Him, it's not void. When I work for Him, it's not void. And listen, when I walk for Him, it's always circumspectly, because I know this, danger's on every side, out of bounds, lines and all. And listen to this, God can do the exact same thing for you.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we